Father, we adore you. Father, we magnify you. Be glorified. Be honored. Be adored. Thank you for a day like this. And thank you for a night like this. We worship you. Be glorified. In Jesus' precious name. Breathe upon your word. Let not one person leave here the same way they have come. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord the praise. Greet someone by your side. Welcome them to the presence of the Lord. And you might be seated in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It has been a time of great exploration in the Word of God, looking at the life of God that we are privileged to have access to by creation. Sunday was very, very explosive and impactful. We shall be following it up coming Sunday. And I want you to inform your friends and loved ones and let everybody as much as possible listen to the last Sunday's message. It's very, very impactful. Now, we are looking at destroyers of the divine life. Destroyers of the divine life. God has called us to walk in his life. And now, there are destroyers of the divine life. We will look at that. Our objective is to understand the forces that destroy the life of God in man. The forces that destroy the life of God in man. In Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 1. Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, had God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. He said, But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took of the tree thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons." The Lord bless his word in the name of Jesus Christ. Here we see the story of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were created in the image and likeness of God. They were created with the breath of God. They functioned in spirituality, supernaturality. They functioned in vitality. They functioned in liberty. Adam and Eve were essentially highly spiritual and supernatural beings. How Adam communicated with the animals to the extent of naming them would have been highly supernatural. How Adam spoke or was able to hear the serpent speak, they communicated with each other, was highly supernatural. Highly supernatural. But something happened, and there was a fall, and there was a crash of Adam. There was a crash of Eve. What? The outcome of that was them being ushered out of the Garden of Eden to live the normal, natural, earthly life. It was a fall from grace to grass. It was a crash. From divinity, they became instant humanity. Because God told them, the moment you eat of that fruit, you shall die. Now, we see that they did not die physically. They were still alive physically. But the life of God in them had died. Now, what was responsible? What is it that we must look out for if the life of God in us must not die? What are the destroyers? Number one, is engagement with the wrong company. Engagement. The beginning of the crash of Adam and Eve was when they decided to engage with the serpent. Bible said the serpent was subtle. Adam had sensitivity. They had, and we'll deal with that coming Sunday. But they engaged with the serpent. In Proverbs 13 and in verse 20, he said, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed." There are many Christians who have destroyed their lives, destroyed their spiritual lives, destroyed their commitment to God, destroyed their possibilities in God, destroyed the things they could have become by involvement and engagement with the wrong company. When Samson decided to begin to engage with his enemies, the company of the Philistine, I mean, it is one thing to keep company, an immoral company. It's another thing completely for that immoral company to be the company of your enemy's people. Samson was in company with a prostitute that was the people who are looking for his head. That was his destruction. The power, the anointing, the grace of God on his life got destroyed. So God engagement with the wrong company. If you are going to maintain the life of God in you, you should company with people who carry the same order of life. Bible said, "Iron sharpeneth iron." Proverbs 27:17. So does a man sharpen the countenance of his friend. The Bible said, "Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupted good manners." Now, the disaster of humanity began when Eve decided to be engaged to company with the serpent. Please be careful who is in your immediate company. They might affect the grace of God on your life. They might affect the potentials you carry. And they might affect what you become. How many people have gotten destroyed because of who they married? I remember a young lady, anointed, on fire for God. Voice like the voice of an angel in singing. Age 12, age 13, age 14, she was already an impactful minister of the gospel. Until she married the wrong person. That wrong person rendered her and turned her into the shadow of herself. Today, she's there. But I'm not sure if she has handled the microphone to minister maybe in the last 20-something years. Life, destiny ruined by connection with the wrong company. Number one is engagement to the wrong company. Number two is openness to the wrong counsel. And the first one flows into the next. Your company will affect your counsel. Company affects counsel. Company affects mindset. Company affects choices. Because they determine your counsel. The serpent brought a counsel to Eve and eventually to Adam that was a disastrous counsel. The Bible said in Psalm 1 verse 1 to verse 3, it said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Do you understand that? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel. The counsel you walk in determines the place you will end at. Where you end is a product of what you hear. Who you give your ear to is whom you have given your life to.
If you doubt me, ask Eve. If you doubt me, ask Samson. If you doubt me, ask Ammon, the son of David, who received a destructive counsel from Jonadab on how to successfully rape his sister without being caught. All the people I mentioned, Adam was lost, and Eve kicked out of the garden. Samson lost his hair, lost his eyes, lost his unction, lost his life later. Ammon was killed by Absalom. Why? Counsel. Whose advice are you hearing? Whose counsel have you opened your ear to? It will destroy. It can either make or mar you. Destroy your life's potentials. Destroy your possibilities. And destroy the life of God in you. Hallelujah. Every counsel that sets you against God is a destructive counsel. Every counsel that makes you feel like you can do without God is a destructive counsel. Every counsel that makes you question God is a destructive counsel. Every counsel that makes you big in your own eyes is a destructive counsel. If you are going to maintain the divine life, you must avoid engagement with the wrong company. You must avoid openness to the wrong counsel. The person talking to you, who is he? What is his relationship with God? What are their values? What are their results with God? Where are they headed to? Find out before you listen. And openness to the wrong counsel. Number three is a lack of understanding of God's word. It destroys the divine nature. When we come to the things that will feed the divine nature, we'll mention this on the other side. A lack of understanding of the word of God. It says, the man that wandereth from the way of understanding, the Bible said, he shall abide in the congregation of the dead. Was that Proverbs 15, 13 or something? The man who wanders from the way, 21, 16. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Eve obviously did not understand the instruction that God gave. When the serpent asked and said, has God said you should not eat? Eve said, God said we should not touch. She didn't know what God said. There are many people who carry the Bible, but they don't know what the Bible carries. They don't know what the Bible carries. So you must not only carry the Bible, you must understand what God is saying per time. Otherwise, you can be led into error. Otherwise, you can be led to begin to doubt God. Otherwise, you can be led into rebellion. The lack of understanding of the word of God. The Bible said in John chapter 10 and in verse 35, it says he called them gods unto whom the word of God came. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. If you have access to the word, if you have understanding of the word, it enhances your divine life. It enhances your divine nature. It enhances the divinity in you. He called them gods because the word came to them. They got an understanding of the word. So it enhanced their stature. Divine stature. Why are so many Christians not manifesting where God wants them to manifest? Why are they not where they are meant to be? Why are they not impacting their world the way they should? Because of the lack of understanding of God. And the number four is connected to number five. To number three. So the first one is engagement with the wrong company. Number two is openness to the wrong counsel. Number three is the lack of understanding of God's word. And number four is a lack of understanding of who we are in God. When you don't know who you are, you lose yourself in this world. It was obvious that Eve did not know who she was. Because the Bible said God made man, that is Adam and Eve, in his image. And here was Satan advertising to Eve that they will become like gods. They will become what they already were. See, they were already created in the image and likeness of God. If there is any word like eaglet for an eagle, then you can choose the word that a child of God should be. That was what they were. But she didn't know who she was. And the devil was trying to advertise to her that she should get what was not missing. She should get what was not lost. She should become what she was already. That's why many people go to native doctors, patronize witches and wizards. Why? Because they don't really know who they are. Psalm 49 verse 12 and in verse 20. It's a man that is in honor. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. The verse 20 said, man that is in honor and understandeth not, he dies like a beast. He is in honor. He has a position in God. He has a status in God. He has a stature in God, but he doesn't know who he is. In the book of Psalm 82 and in verse 5 all the way to verse 6, the Bible says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are out of course. Why? I have said you are gods, and all of you children of the Most High, but you die like princes, like men, and you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Why? They know not, neither do they understand. It is important to begin to understand. There are many things we must know in life. One, we must know who God is. Two, we must know who we are. Three, we must know what our purpose on earth is. These are the things. Knowledge is critical to success. People fail exams, not because they were not present in the class, but because they didn't know the subject, they didn't understand the subject. And so, we will fail massively in life, in our spiritual journey, if we don't understand who God is, and we don't understand who we are. Eve had no understanding, and she was deceived, and she perished. That will never be your portion. I prophesy today a fresh release of the spirit of knowledge and understanding, wisdom and understanding be released upon you right now. In the name of Jesus, the spirit of wisdom and understanding be released upon you now. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. And so, engagement with the wrong company, openness to the wrong counsel, a lack of understanding of God's word, the lack of understanding of who we are in God. Number five, they crave for independence from God. When people want to be independent of God, they end up insufficient in life. When the serpent was advertising that Eve can become like God, That is, become like God and you don't need God. God knows. God is trying to hide something from you. He knows you will arrive at his status. So that is why he says you shouldn't eat the fruit. So the mentality is, okay, let me eat the fruit so that me and God can, so that God will not be behaving as if he's the only one that can be God. So I can be free from God. Many people want to be free from God, free from the word, free from the church, free from the Bible. And that freedom is a freedom of disaster. It's like the car free from its driver. It's like a tree free from its root. Collapse, building free from its foundation. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Genesis chapter, yes, that's verse 4 and verse 5. God knows that you will be like him. Please, I want, let it be clear to everyone that the best of man is found in God. This is very, very simple. When God was creating the earth, anything he spoke to became the habitat of what he created there. So he spoke to the water, and water became the house of fishes. The best of the fish, say, let the waters bring forth. So it is impossible for fishes, well, they can thrive outside, but their best is inside water. He spoke to the sky, and the birds came into the sky. Their best is up there. He spoke to the earth, and plants came out of the earth. So the best of plants is in the earth. He spoke to God himself, and man came out of God. So the best of man happens inside God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! So to try to succeed without God as a man, or to thrive, is like the plant trying to thrive without the earth. The fish trying to thrive without the water. The bird trying to thrive without the air. Don't do that. We can't crave to be independent of God. Am I communicating here? What I'm trusting God for tonight is that somebody will be driven deeper into God, driven deeper into relationship with God, driven deeper into intimacy with God, driven deeper tonight in the name of Jesus. Number 6 is disobedience and rebellion to God's word. Eve was outrightly disobedient. Don't eat the fruit, I will eat it. Don't eat the fruit, I will eat it. Rebellion. Disobeying God, rebelling against God. The Bible said in Psalm 68 and in verse 6, he said, God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. The rebellious have their habitation in dry land. The rebellious dwell in a dry land. Adam and Eve dried up spiritually the moment they rebelled against God. You know that this is what God is saying. You know that this is the law of God. And you deliberately rebel. You dry up spiritually. Many of us dried up because we have consistently violated God's word in many, many, many ways. In lifestyle, in practices, financial practices, all manner. And our spiritual lives and divinity dried up. That will never be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. And finally, the seventh thing that destroys from the experience of Adam and Eve is what I call the spirit of this world. The spirit of this world is a killer of the life of God. You know the spirit of this world. When Eve saw that the fruit was pleasant to the eyes and it was good to make one wise. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, saw was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise. So when you see good for food, that is lust of the flesh, the desire of the flesh. When you said, you saw pleasant to the eyes, that is the lust of the eyes. When she said, it was good to make one wise, that was the pride of life. Those three things, which we see in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to verse 17, where the Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that was the order in which Eve manifested them. The lust of the flesh, good for food, pleasant to the eyes, to make one wise. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. There are so many people God cannot do many things with. God's life can't be manifested in them because of the pride of life. Pride that scattered Lucifer from heaven and turned him into a devil. Pride that removed Queen Vashti from the throne of the Persian Empire. Pride that killed Absalom because he wanted to overthrow and overpower his father. Pride that turned Nebuchadnezzar into an animal. Pride that killed Herod, turned him into worms as the angels smote him. Pride is an undoing of so many people. The nature of God cannot coexist with pride, because pride is original Luciferic sin. The original sin that originated in heaven was that sin of pride that was found in Lucifer when he decided, I am going to be like God. I am going to be like God. I am going to be like God. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. That scattered him from heaven. And one thing I understand that pride reminds God of Luciferic rebellion. That's right. Every time a man or a woman is manifesting pride, you are just reminding God about his worst enemy. You are reminding God of the nature that turned Lucifer into Satan. Of course, the loss of the flesh and the loss of the eyes. What the body craves for, and I must get it by all means, whatever it takes. These are destroyers of the life of God in the life of a person. But I believe that today, somebody is receiving freedom from these destroyers. You believe that? Say a loud amen. You believe that? Say a louder amen. You believe that? Shout the loud most amen. So we have engagement with the wrong company. As a destroyer of the life of God in man, we have openness to the wrong counsel, opening your ears and opening your life to hearing from the wrong people consistently. We have the lack of understanding of God's word. We are not open to God's word, so we don't understand God's word. And then we have a lack of understanding of who we are in God. If you don't know who you are, nobody has the right to know who you are, including the devil. The children of Israel said in the book of Numbers 13:33, we were like grasshoppers in their sight, and so were we in our own sight first, so were we in their sight. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight. So your own sight sets the pace for the sight of the enemy about you. It sets the pace. How you see yourself is the determinant of how God, the devil, and anybody will see you. Especially the devil and the world. You see. And so it is very, very critical that we understand who we are in God. If you want to take a journey and your journey is, Lord, who am I? Show me from the scripture. It's a worthwhile journey. A lack of understanding of who we are in God. Number 5 is the crave of independence from God. Oh, we can do without God. Oh, no, we don't need God. Like most people in Europe and most people in the Western world. Everything is available. So who is God? Where is he? Yeah, it destroys the life of God and packages and prepares people for eternity in hellfire. And of course, disobedience and rebellion. Every agenda of rebellion is an agenda of destruction. Rebellion, the Bible says, is like the sin of witchcraft. And the Bible says, suffer not the witch to live. You can put the equation together. Rebellion is a destroyer of spiritual life and a destroyer of physical life. And of course, the final is the spirit of this world, which is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. They are destroyers of the life of God. I believe it is a new day for somebody. And if you are that person, you will say a loud amen. Stand up on your feet wherever you are. Lift up your hands and give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Give him the worship. Father, thank you. Adonai, thank you. Elion, thank you. We worship you. We honor you. We adore you. Be thou glorified in Jesus' precious name. We're going to pray this prayer, these several lines of prayer, and take them one by one. Asking the Lord, deliver me from engaging the wrong company. Deliver me from the wrong counsel. And so on and so forth. Deepen my understanding of your word. Open my eyes to see who I am. Again, deliver me from the wrong company. Deliver me from the wrong counsel. Open my eyes to see wondrous things from your law, from your book. Deepen my understanding of your word. Deepen my understanding of who I am in God. Deliver me from every crave of independence. Deliver me from the spirit of rebellion. And deliver me from the spirit of this world. The spirit of the Antichrist. The pride of life. The loss of the eyes and the loss of the flesh. We're going to pray that in a prayer line shortly. But before we do that, anywhere you are tonight, the first thing I think you will do is to hand over your life to Jesus and receive forgiveness for your sins. Place your hand on your chest, wherever you are, and pray this prayer with me and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life and make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord, no turning back. Forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And also, anywhere you are today, everywhere you are tonight, you are bound by an addiction, a lifestyle you are not happy with, something that you don't like, something you know God does not like, and you want that yoke broken as well. You say, Father, I receive deliverance from every form of addiction. Help me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.